Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. On today's episode, I'm going to cover a new medication that's been out within the last year here, and that is vonoprazan. Brand name is Voquezna. And this medication is actually a potassium competitive acid blocker. Sometimes referred to as PCAB as far as the class of these type of medications, which I believe vonoprazan is the only one currently available. There may be more in the pipeline potentially being researched. So PCAB or vonoprazan, or the class that it's from, the PCAB class, vonoprazan works by reducing basal and stimulated gastric acid secretion from parietal cells. So if you remember, parietal cells in the gut or the stomach, they are the ones that basically pump out the acid and allow for the production of acid for the stomach there. So it inhibits the hydrogen potassium ATPase. And that's essentially how it works in helping to relieve symptoms and promote healing in erosive esophagitis, as well as H. pylori can be used for that as well. Now, a couple of things with this medication, first and foremost, before you get too crazy excited. It is very, very expensive. Just in searching online a little bit, I mean, you're probably looking at anywhere from $600 to $900 price range is what I've kind of seen online for a 30-day supply. So obviously, that's going to be a huge challenge compared to PPIs. There is some evidence for greater efficacy. So in one study, we saw 93% healing in patients taking vonoprazan versus lansoprazole 30 milligrams a day. We saw 85% healing in erosive esophagitis. So a little more potent agent potentially, and that's through the mechanism of action there as well. But it's important to recognize that this is probably going to be reserved for kind of refractory and severe cases, and you know, probably the primary issue there is due to that cost issue. So dosing of this medication and where is it going to be utilized? So the approved indications are erosive esophagitis treatment, and that's 20 milligrams once daily for 8 weeks. And then we can use it for maintenance therapy as well. And that time frame is recommended up to 6 months. And that's a reduced dose at 10 milligrams daily for that maintenance of the healing of erosive esophagitis. There is some evidence indication for H. pylori as well. Again, probably not going to see this much, I'm guessing, compared to using just PPIs in that setting, but it can be given 20 milligrams twice a day for 14 days. And then obviously that's going to be with antibiotic therapy because we need to treat that H. pylori infection there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about adverse drug reactions. So we've got a lot of similar risks with vonoprazan that you're going to see with PPIs. So C. diff risk has been associated with this medication, similar to PPIs with that fracture risk, particularly with long-term use greater than a year. Now, hopefully with, you know, the indications it's approved for and that type of thing, hopefully we won't be using this medication for longer periods of time. But I think it's important to note that. Low magnesium has definitely been reported. Low B12 levels, if a patient is taking it chronically, can occur as well. So all those are definitely good things that may come up on board exams, which, as always, a reminder, go check out meded101.com/store if you're looking for pharmacist board information in education, NAPLEX, BCPS, so on and so forth. So go support the sponsor there, meded101.com/store. In addition to some of those kind of hallmark adverse drug reactions, Stevens-Johnson syndrome and dermatologic reactions have been reported. And there have been rare instances of nephritis reported as well with vonoprazan. All right, so let's talk kinetics a little bit. So the onset of this medication is, you know, relatively quick, within 2 to 3 hours, which is generally considered to be significantly quicker than PPIs. So that's, you know, maybe a little bit of an added benefit. But again, you know, the cost at this point is that challenging issue there. In addition to the cost, probably the other biggest downside is there are some significant drug interactions with this medication. So it's got some interplay with CYP3A4, CYP2C19. And I'm going to talk about that, of course, a little bit in the drug interaction section further there. It is somewhat excreted in the urine. So in patients with an eGFR of less than 30 mils per minute, it's recommended to drop the 20 milligram dosing down to 10 milligram dosing once a day. So again, in renal and hepatic impairment, the AUC and the drug concentrations can go up for sure. So definitely an important thing to think about there. And then as far as monitoring parameters, nothing that you're probably going to do, you know, too standard. One exception might be magnesium. You know, particularly if patients are displaying signs and symptoms of low magnesium, or maybe they're at higher risk of low magnesium on a loop diuretic, for example, maybe a little bit more urgency there to check that. If you've got some longer term use going on, certainly checking a B12 might be considered with vonoprazan as well. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study materials like NAPLEX and BCPS, ambulatory care, go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, if you're a nurse practitioner, PA, anyone looking to learn more about pharmacology, at that link, meded101.com/store, we've got tons of links to different books on Amazon that can help you prepare for exams, prepare for pharmacology courses, or just help you become a better clinician and healthcare professional. So go check that out. Support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. All right, so let's wrap up with drug interactions. So vonoprazan is a weak CYP3A4 inhibitor. So certainly there's going to be some potential drug interactions that go along with that. You know, the significance, how significant it is, probably for most situations, it's probably just a monitor for increased concentrations and increased risk of toxicity for certain medications. In addition to that, it is a CYP2C19 inhibitor. So that means a drug like citalopram, its concentrations can go up. Cyclosporine, not used incredibly often, but another drug that can have its concentrations raised, and then that potential risk with clopidogrel in actually reducing clopidogrel activity, because remember that clopidogrel is a prodrug there. Bisphosphonates will have reduced effects, so it might not be as effective, and you know, remember that risk of you know, PPIs and vonoprazan potentially increasing the risk of fracture themselves. Particularly with longer term use, you know, greater than a year, for example, there. So that's one to kind of think about, watch out for. The magnesium, B12, things as well, I guess you could maybe factor them in or consider them drug interaction related as well. If you've got to add those supplements and those type of things, they can reduce those levels further. Vonoprazan can do that. it is broken down. Vonoprazan is broken down by CYP3A4. So it is recommended to avoid CYP3A4 inducers, because ultimately they're going to decrease concentration and decrease effectiveness of vonoprazan. And of course, classic examples there, rifampin, phenytoin, carbamazepine, St. John's wort, all kind of classic examples of CYP3A4 enzyme inducers. And then we've got, you know, some other medications to think about as far as reduced concentrations, probably more so in relation to changing the acidity of the stomach. So mycophenolate, that is a drug used for immunosuppression purposes. Iron supplements, both those medications can potentially have their concentrations and absorption reduced with the use of vonoprazan. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Do me a huge favor, leave a rating review on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening on. Greatly appreciate that. As always, go to reallifepharmacology.com. Get their free 31-page PDF, top 200 study guide. No-brainer. Definitely for you to get that for free. Simply an email subscription there is all it'll take. So go take advantage of that. If you have comments, suggestions, things I should cover in future episodes, I'm certainly open to that. MedEducation101@gmail.com is where you can track me down. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. You can connect with me there. And as always, please support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. Your purchases there go directly to support this podcast, and I'm greatly appreciative of all of you who have done that and supported my mission in helping improve pharmacology education and helping the next one in lines in the healthcare professions. With that said, thank you so much for listening. Take care, and have a great rest of your day.